Hey, who's this guest over here?
I don't know. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Sure. My name's Jeremy, and I work at the Ashwell Clinic, which is a new sexual health space.
Fuck yeah, you do.
Yeah, I do.
So we had Jeremy on, because I know Jeremy through, well, a lot of different things.
Yeah, you did a comedy show that I produced.
Yeah, during the Contrast Film Festival last year. And then also I just know you through stuff with Double Scorpio.
Right. Yeah, I do the marketing for Double Scorpio.
And I love the marketing for Double Scorpio.
Thank you.
It's just, great stuff. But then, now you're doing stuff for the Ashwell Clinic, which I honestly had never heard of until you told me about it.
Yeah, like, neither, I don't think.
Yeah, I've looked into it now, but do you want to give your elevator pitch to Ariel, who knows literally nothing, has done no research, of course.
Sure.
What's the Ashwell Clinic?
So Ashwell Clinic is a...
Wait, are you saying Ashwell or Asheville?
Ashwell.
Oh, okay. Ashwell.
Good. Which stands for Austin Sexual Health and Wellness.
Ah.
So it's like a sexual health clinic, and we're primarily focused on getting PrEP to people, but we also do STI testing, HIV testing, HIV treatment, Hep C treatment. We also, can link people with mental health services. We can link people with holistic care for really cheap. So acupuncture, massage therapy. And it's actually kind of cool because it used to be the Wright House, which was kind of a radical space back in the 90s and helping, HIV AIDS patients with end of life care. Mm-hmm. And they took, a more holistic approach and were just zero stigma with their clients. But now people aren't passing away, fortunately.
Yeah.
And so now they've rebranded and they're shifting to more preventative operations.
Yeah. Instead of it just being stop you from dying, now we can focus on wellness.
Exactly.
That's tight.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they're cool to work for because they are all nasty freaks that work there. Awesome. So it's very zero BS, very little stigma. And they're...
What do you mean by nasty freaks? I mean, we kind of trade nasty freaks around here, I feel like.
Sure. I mean, I don't want to speak on any of their behalves.
Yeah.
But everyone has a very colorful weekend.
Okay.
I think. I've worked in a lot of clinics where people are married, have kids, or if they are gay, they're heteronormative, and it just feels strange to work in a sexual health clinic when they perhaps are a little judgmental towards
the
clients.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Where Ashwell, you can tell them literally
anything. We all want to fuck.
Yeah,
okay?
Exactly.
We're just trying to make this work out as best as possible.
If it's a sexual health clinic, you should be free to just say, this is what I'm up to, and they'll be like, good for you. So that's the environment. That's
within tight. Reason, it's like, so I'm planning on cutting my leg off this weekend. It's like, maybe let's hold on. Okay.
Wait a minute. I saw this episode of Grey's Anatomy. What do you do again?
Mm-hmm. Is there an episode of Grey's Anatomy?
It's not a sex thing for them. It's that phantom limb thing where they're feeling the pain or something, or that kind of, or they feel like they have to cut their, it is almost kind of like a fetish though.
Sure.
That idea of I have to cut my leg off. It becomes an obsession.
And what I've heard is, they'll obsess about one limb sometimes. It's a really specific thing. Mm-hmm. And then usually, everyone else is assuming you're going to do this and you're just going to do it again. And then they do cut it off and they're like, I feel great.
Yeah.
I feel relief.
Really? Wait. This is a real thing. People actually fantasize about cutting off limbs.
And they
because they want the phantom limb sensation specifically.
No, I think that some people have phantom pains that they're trying to get rid of. I think there's two. I think there's one where someone has a phantom pain. There's nothing you can do to get rid of it. So they feel like they have to cut their leg. It's in their head, but they feel like they have to cut their leg off. And then there's other people who just get obsessed with the idea of cutting their leg off, for its own sake, in a sort of fetishistic way where they just specifically want to.
They'll go to a doctor and the doctor's like, you need to be hospitalized. I'm not doing this for you. And then the person will stick their leg in a freezer till it's dead essentially.
Yeah.
And then
they force them to do
it off.
Oh my gosh.
But the people with the pain, that neuroscientist guy V.S. Ramachandran, he figured out ways to get rid of the phantom limb pain for people, and also ways to get rid of these phantom pains and stuff. So if you're out there and you have that pain, you don't have to cut your leg off. There's help for you. Google it. But, you know, yeah, the people who just have that as a fetish, I mean, I don't know, or, you know, and not even a sexual thing necessarily, but they just want to. It's like, well, yeah, I don't know.
That's so fascinating.
Should we just let them live their dream?
Yeah, I mean, fuck it. I don't give a shit. Like, if you want to do it, like, go for it.
Yeah, cut the leg off.
I think, though...
I don't know. If you're, like, a parent or... But that kind of like, sucks if you're just like, well, I'm going to be hopping around.
Yeah, but and also just, like... What if you... I don't know. That would
Someone should have to so want to cut their leg off for at least a year and have a therapist sign off on it.
Yeah.
Let's make it like
Before you want to be trans legless.
If you want to transition to being, one or two limbed. Legged.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You really should put those old things back in place.
Yeah, because I was feeling very Republican-y and being like, what if someone did it just for the disability? Just like just to like get like a grant. Like
ha ha, it wasn't psychological after all. I just wanted the, like, then just wanted the parking spots.
Then you have parents like cutting their kids' legs off so they get more scholarships.
That's tight.
Like a rich parent. Just like, just cut them at the cast so we still get them a shiny, cool bottom leg so he can run
fast.
Yeah,
we're on to their financial schemes.
Essay out of it.
Yeah, it's just, it makes them more of a... He won't remember it. He's so tiny.
Right.
He's
they fine. Can't bribe their way in anymore after the scandal. So now they got to cut the legs off their kids. I want what's best for you.
Aunt Becky really raised the stakes for the rest of us.
This is the Gender Fluids Podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Austin Smart, a 26-year-old trans girl and bottom-leaning switch.
And I'm Ariel Isaac Norman, a 32-year-old androgynous boy lesbian. And we're bringing you the only queer podcast that isn't super gay.
Gender Fluids is a podcast about all the sex and all the people. If you want to follow us on Instagram, we're at Gender Fluids Podcast. On Twitter, we're at Gender Fluids Pod. Our email is genderfluidspod@gmail.com. On FetLife, we're just Gender Fluids. And you can find us on Patreon at patreon.com/genderfluids. Enjoy the episode, y'all.
You know what's so trippy about Aunt Becky is she's married to Massimo, like the designer.
The shirt?
Yeah, the Target. The Target.
Really?
Yeah, that used to be kind of like, back in the day, it was like No Fear and Massimo were kind of the two, I don't want to say cool because they weren't cool, but all the kids, I wanted that stuff.
Yeah, because it was the Target thing.
Right. Well, I remember it pre-Target.
Oh, I don't know it pre-Target.
I feel like if you...
Because I didn't have a Target until I moved to Austin. Oh. And like, yeah, I was in a non-Target having town.
I didn't know
With a Target, it was like 35 minutes away, like driving 75 miles an hour. So it took us a while to get to the closest Target.
Wow.
So...
My mom just didn't
Know it through that. But so there was a pre-Target Massimo period.
Yeah, and then it kind of became super uncool. And then he like made some deal with Target, and then I think that really obviously continues to sustain him. And then he like met Aunt Becky, and now they're like
just had money and nothing to do with. But you know, like it just feels like they both must have been retired for a long time.
Well, see, he hasn't been involved in any of this, so I'm thinking she's the one that like was doing the.
I don't know, but is anybody surprised that Aunt Becky and the Massimo guy's kid probably isn't smart enough to get into a good college for real? You know, I feel like we all could have figured that out without these reporters.
Wow. That's a long way from prep.
Oh yeah, so
my boss is gonna be so like disappointed. Those phantom limbs and Aunt Becky right out the gate.
Anyways, guys, Ashwell Clinic, get your legs cut off. I mean, not there, but like
if you're into it, will the Ashwell people cut your leg
how
off?
How open are we?
If that's your sex.
Really,
I know they can make referrals.
Okay.
So. Look, I'm not saying I can do a more your leg holistic, off, but I can point you to a guy.
We'll see if your holistic guy will do it. See if he decides that on the whole
that's
it's better
for
you.
That's some Austin shit. Oh, yeah. We have a holistic
amputee fetishist. Anyway.
Uses the best all-natural bone saws. Just,
man.
They're made out of bones themselves. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, really. What's the word I'm looking for? You know, well-sourced. What do you call it?
Ethically sourced.
Sorry, that would have been funnier.
Ethically sourced bone saws.
Ethically sourced bone saws. But anyway, okay, so you said that there's some interesting statistics out there now or whatever about PrEP and what's going on in the commune.
So, I mean, if someone
your listeners aren't sure what PrEP is, it's a pill you can take once a day. And
Sorry, we should have said that.
I don't know. Well, what? I went into, because I've worked on and off in HIV prevention for years, so I just assume everyone's at the same place I am. And then I realize there's still people that don't know of everything. Course. And so PrEP is a pill you can take once a day, and it prevents HIV. And so it had a very slow rollout. It wasn't seen as like this incredible miracle. People were really nervous to talk about it when it started to get exposure about 4 years ago. And it's been very controversial because people think that it might promote condomless sex. And then there'll be like another sort of outbreak of something else, or there'll be a mutation of HIV, or something will go off the rails. But that has yet to happen.
So what seems do you fear that?
No.
Well, sorry.
No, it's fine. I think
I hate arguments like that. It's like you're fighting with a hypothetical.
Right.
Like some sort of anxiety ridden fear. It's like we're gonna give up on this good thing just because there's the potential it could also be bad, even though it's like
But it for sure already has led to more condomless sex. So the question then is, how worried are we about the possible mutations and stuff?
I don't know the science on this. That there's a direct link between, like,
100%. I've had so many conversations with people about it. People are honest with me about it, at least, where they're like, I used to use condoms and I don't anymore because of PrEP.
Sure. I'm one of those people.
Yeah. It's a cost benefit analysis, and people, condoms suck.
They do suck, but
I mean, it's great if we can figure out how to not, you know,
or they work for you, then that's great.
Oh, but, yeah, that too. Use the kids.
I think they suck for me. And when I finally got on PrEP, I was like, fuck yes. But I also was starting to like waffle on my condom use. And from working at a clinic, people were already starting to give up on them without PrEP. So it was just like, let's just meet people where they're at.
Right. Yeah, a lot of people were already making irresponsible decisions about condoms at the time. And now it's like, okay, well, now it's not really an irresponsible decision necessarily. I mean, and you still have the choice about how many people and how often and how well you know them and how much people are getting tested. Like, people need to take individual responsibility for all of those questions and whether or not.
And condoms, for me personally, aren't off the table. I still, like, sometimes I'm like, I don't know this person, or they seem like they get into some really intense stuff. So we are going to use a condom because who knows what else is up. And I also feel less nervous talking to people because HIV is sort of like off the table now.
And it's like 100% just
99%. There's like maybe 4 or 5 cases of people that said that they were taking it regularly that contracted it. But again, were they taking it every day?
Right.
How many loads were they taking? They could have been like the pass around party bottom, and there's some other factors.
Is there something on the box that's like, hey, we can only insure up to 12 loads a day, man. After that, you're on your own.
Yeah, we can't guarantee after that.
I love that. I want to see that test, like that trial phase.
What if we rub it in each of these different holes?
All right, guys, we need
2 loads per
participants
hole.
To take.
You're going to have to start rubbing it in your eyes
loads
if you've already.
Have you taken? We need to know for the study. Would you say you could take 30 loads in a day? Cause we need to know where we can cap out
high
at.
Load participants for this follow-up.
They present the findings on one of those like foam core like trifold.
Yeah.
Like a science fair thing. It's like, these are the findings.
See, this is why I want to have children. So just so I can send them to their 6th grade science fair with something like this. Doing real science here.
Right. Oh my God. Yeah.
You didn't give any content restrictions, teacher.
You didn't tell me I couldn't send my 8-year-old to school with how many loads.
How many loads can PrEP handle?
I'm open with my children about the dangers of sex from a young age. It's not my fault that you aren't.
Conclusion. Now that 13 of our participants have contracted HIV, we realize there is a load limit.
The load limit.
The load
Next load. On the load limit.
The load limit does That's exist.
My yeah, there is no load limit. Sky's the load limit. Okay. Anyway,
Yeah, it is interesting to think about those things, like how it might be changing sex. For me, I definitely feel a lot less anxious, and I feel like I can be super, not super, I can be way more honest with my sexual partners and way more honest with myself. Mm-hmm. There's not like this denial about getting tested regularly. Like I used to like really put it off, and now I don't shrug. Like I would go every 2 weeks if it was easier to get tested. It's just such a pain in the ass to go to the clinic.
I mean, my thing's just like, I wish it just does take a, I try and get tested as often as I can, but it also takes forever to get an appointment. Mm-hmm. Like unless you're showing, if you're showing symptoms or claim you're showing symptoms, it's like you can, they'll typically, from what I've seen, a lot of places will see you faster. And if you're like just doing your routine checkup, you're going to have to like wait a little bit longer.
True.
But yeah. If there was like such availability to where like I could know, I could just like make an appointment like a week from now or 2 weeks from now and just have it like how some people who have really great fades, like keep up with their hair, like every 2 weeks. Like if I just like had that ability, it's like for sure, that's what I would do.
You should do that at the barbershop.
Have that tester.
Would be so good, sick.
Yeah,
I mean, you're already sitting still. Someone could take your blood. You could have like an in-house phlebotomist at your barber shop.
Not a bad idea.
That's a good idea. I mean, it's like, well, what did you do with your body all weekend? Like,
yeah, I know that's the thing. It's like, I haven't been fucking enough people. I've been fucking the same people. Well, actually, I just had an orgy.
Yeah. So a lot of those were in circle people, but
yeah, penetration. Just lots of
licking.
Well, and also lots of just like hand, not a lot of like P and the V penetration. Not a ton.
Right.
You know. Mostly just fingers, hands, and toes. Mostly toes. I just love, dude. I love it. Like you would like have like a fascination for like a tiny, I don't know, something that's just cute and fun. It's like toe fucking videos, like where someone's just like fucking a butthole with their like foot. I just think it's really cute. I don't know why. It's just like
kind of cute.
It feels wholesome to me for some reason. I'm just like, oh, look at like that little butthole.
I guess I'd have to watch how they do toes. It. Is it aggressive when they do it? I don't know. I haven't watched these videos.
I mean, I don't like it when it's aggressive. That just scares me.
You just want a little poking around.
Yeah.
A little wiggling, a little footsie. Yeah,
just casual, cute, butt or vagina. Cute toe fuck. I don't know if I've ever had a toe in me.
Pretty sure
like
I have
having
once.
My feet licked. Holy shit. It's like the other day I got a pedicure and I was with my friend and I'm like, this woman is like, there's, I don't know what is up with my feet, but there's a direct line from like my big toe to my butthole. And she was like painting my toenail and then kind of like doing some stuff with the cuticle. And I looked at him, I was like, girl, she's oh my God. This is magic. And I was trying to be super chill because she's just this nice cute woman doing her job, and I'm sitting there like like hanging on to the massage chair for dear life.
I'm so wet right now.
Yeah, truly. So I discovered something about myself during that pedicure.
Awesome.
Yeah,
I think I hope she'd be proud to know that.
Yeah, I tip her extra and I'm like,
yeah,
like, you sent me to outer space.
Yeah. Love it. I haven't had a pedicure in so long. I miss them.
They frighten me. I don't like my feet
being
touched.
You never had one?
Oh. I've had like a lot of like stuff as a child get stabbed into my foot.
So you've never had a pedicure?
Mm-mm.
Oh my God.
I've never had a manicure and I've never had a massage.
Oh my God. Okay, we have to go get pedicures together. That's hilarious anyway. Don't you want gender fluids content?
Oh, no, wait.
You should do the episode while getting the pedicure.
Yeah, totally.
Because that environment's conducive to just being like chatty and gossipy. So loads.
So loads. That's,
they're back. Loads are back.
Dude, I know. Loads and you know, here's the thing. I am glad that people are just generally a little bit more into like big loads of all sizes and types, you know, just like.
Might tap out on that.
Really? Really?
Well, I mean, you know, I'm not into loads, so.
Of any sort?
No.
oh, you don't not even like being put inside you. Like you don't got to touch it or interact with it, but just like having a like big load like blown in you. Just like
even the word blunt. Okay. I think that if I were trying to conceive a baby, I've said this before, but yeah. I think if I were trying to conceive a baby, then I would find it to be pleasurable. But I think if I'm not, then I find it to be abhorrently disgusting. And I've said that, yeah. And some straight women have been like, yes, to me before. I forgot about this. Hmm. So I think there's just something to that. But no, men's cum is so disgusting to me. I just can't.
I see. I'm of the vein of like, I can have it in me, but I can't like, and I can have it on me, but it can't be like rubbed around on me. Mm. Like I've had people rub it in on me before and like, that's just weird.
It has a short shelf life for most people. Okay, interesting. Like I'm into it, but after it's around for like more than 10 seconds, it's like, no.
All right, we're done.
Yeah.
You need to have in your mind what you want to do with this and do it quickly.
That's interesting. And that's so interesting. Like, short shelf life. I like that.
But yeah, that's what I've always said. I like cum in theory.
Right.
Where it's like, I love the idea of it.
I love cum in theory. Okay. That makes a little more sense to me.
And then like when it comes to the pragmatics of it, it's like, ooh, hot. Okay. Now get it off. Just get it. Because the smell is such a particular smell that just like that shit gets to me after a minute. It's not good. And like, the only exception is like coming inside me. It's like that I can't get enough of.
I really think if you could just fill me up, keep going.
Yeah.
To the brim.
Like I know it's so cheesy and it's the most unrealistic part about like hentai, but I love it. Like the completely unrealistic amount of cum involved in a lot of it where it's like blowing out of people. Like I want to be like, when I say I want to be filled, I mean I want to be like filled. Like feel uncomfortable afterwards.
Feel uncomfortable about who I am as a person
afterwards. Dude, it's a dating Jess and Adrian has been weird because like they really like made me come to terms with the fact that I like, you're just a big slut. I'm just a big slut in a lot of ways. Uh-huh. I think there's a lot of people that are like that.
And now there's just more avenues to be like more honest about that. And there's just a shift back to people not having to be scared. Cause there was, I think a lot of stigma and
that's part of what, sorry, go on.
Oh, I do think it just comes back to HIV. Like people were like, sex is bad and dirty because you could possibly hurt yourself or hurt your partners or whatever. And now that is starting to fade.
That's interesting because the whole thing was like sex was bad and dirty for a long time. We really had to think of it that way. And then we were all like, wait, now we could enjoy this thing and unleash it. And then we're like, ooh, AIDS though. And now we're like, hey, I think we dealt with AIDS, y'all. Right. And pregnancy.
Yeah.
So...
it is kind of like a, but it just, it's not the same as destigmatizing kink, but it's just adjacent enough to it to where like this like type of dirtiness is being relieved from sex. And so the dirtiness surrounding kink is also vicariously a little bit kind of like getting washed away, you know? Mm-hmm. That's strange. I hadn't thought about that happening, but
I was thinking about this yesterday about like pre-AIDS, like sort of that come up of the disco era. And I'm like, oh, we were so close. Like everyone was bisexual. Like when I watch documentaries about like these important disco figures and stuff, it's like even the gay guys just would sleep with women. Like, oh yeah, this stylist, he was so gay, but he slept with Jerry Hall because she's so amazing. Why wouldn't you? You know? And so everyone seemed way more fluid. And I think there was way less, way fewer boundaries and borders. And so I'm always curious about like the impact HIV had across so many boards of like gender and sexual taste and things like that. And I think through the 80s and early 90s, it really put people into compartments and everyone got really scared of one another and we're just maybe starting to undo that kind of psychic damage that came from that.
Yeah.
And now everyone's starting to be a little more freaky and a little more like, I'm into
whatever.
Everything.
Yeah.
Like I went to this sex party in New York called Inferno. And it's great because there's like a dance party and then there's a sex maze and there's like drag queens like doing sex show stuff on stage. And then I went into the maze and the first thing I saw was two, you know, it's dark, but I presume like two lesbians, you know, like a strap-on situation. Mm-hmm. And they were going at it. And then there's like six gay guys standing around them, like jerking off watching it. And I'm like, that is very 20. That's 2019.
Yeah. That's very 2019.
Of. Yeah.
Exactly. Totally. Like, but 2019 has, even before 2019 happened, I was like, I'm just so into 2019. And it really is this way for so many people. Like,
it's just like, look, that's hot.
Yeah, and we're just loosening up a little bit and figuring out what we all really want as a culture. I think we're kind of, I don't know. I think we're progressing.
Everyone, I know, I'm telling you, ever since Trump got elected, people have been fucking more. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's because it feels like a little more transgressive again. Mm-hmm. It feels like a little more revolutionary of like, fuck yeah, I'm doing this.
You
like
do whatever I want.
Yeah. It makes it feel a little more punk rock. That's why it's like, definitely. Yeah, that's why you'll see six gay dudes jerking off to like a presumably lesbian strap on. Like, it's like, yeah, because we're all just hot and in this together. Like,
right.
Well, we're all just admitting a lot more to each other than we used to about gender, sexuality, fluidity.
Right.
You know, kinkiness.
Yeah. People are way less stringent about it. And also deviating outside of what's stereotypical for their gender or sexuality mm-hmm. doesn't then endanger their belief in their own identity, right? Like mm-hmm. they realize they can participate in, like I'm gay and I can jerk off to like two ladies having sex. It doesn't make me threaten my gayness, right? I'm mm-hmm. not worried about being seen as not gay now, right? Mm-hmm. Or yeah, I'm a straight dude. I'm usually straight all the time.
Everyone
but like
knows
I don't
that lesbians
mind
like
sucking a casual dick every now and then. Yeah. Like it doesn't bother me. I'm not worried about my own straightness, but it's just a thing I enjoy kind of doing.
Yeah.
And, yeah, like, I love it. Okay, let's take a quick break and then we'll come back with some more fun shit. Hey, y'all. Thanks for listening. If you like the podcast and want to leave us a review, please head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review like this one.
I enjoyed the review from Creamy Pussy, 5 stars. It's called Oh Yeah, Just Like That. Excellent and thought-provoking content that can make anyone, no matter what your fetish is, feel a little less alone and a little turned on. Wink.
Perfect. Give us more stuff like that.
Yeah.
Head on over to Apple Podcast and drop us a review. Thanks.
Anyway, that's awesome. Wait, so you went to this whole sex party. What else did you see?
Also,
what's a sex maze?
That I know. I was just gonna let him take us through
yeah.
it.
It was great. It was like a base. Oh, no, I'm fine. It was like a basement in Brooklyn under like a bodega. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it's very unassuming. There's just like the, you know, black steel door. You go down these stairs. There's a coat check. There's really good music. Usually like bathhouses and stuff have really bad, like that methy circuit mm-hmm. party music. Mm-hmm. This was like really beautiful techno. And it was also cool. I mean, it was mostly like more on the masculine side, but there were women, there were drag queens, there were, you know, non-binary people. It was definitely like the most diverse mix of identities I've seen in kind of a sexy space like that. Yes. So there's like, yeah, this dance floor area. And then there's this maze that's kind of like mostly made like just like with particle board that's, you know, painted black and then curtains and stuff. So it's very like DIY, but you know, there's holes so you could like watch other people having sex, like kind of a voyeuristic thing. They maybe were aware of you or not. And then there was like different, what would you call them? Like, not like a bed, but like those kind of rubber mat mm-hmm. things, so different corners you could like pop into. And then in the very back was just an open room with like different cubbies and then like different rubber mattresses that were suspended on chains and then like a chain link fence. And then there was like 40 people just going for it.
Dude, that's fucking sick. There were mattresses suspended on chains.
Yeah. Totally. It was great. It was really cool.
That's like one of those moments where you walk in and you're like, oh, finally. Like,
right.
Yeah. It's one of those things you imagine your whole life kind Jesus. Of, or just maybe yeah. not that exactly, but something like that. You're like, yeah, this is, I'm going to remember this.
Oh, yeah. I think about it like once every couple days. And I DJed a sex party in Austin and I was kind of like, had that in my mind.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and it was at a professional space. It's like a dominatrix's dungeon. And it was this like men's leather group invited my friend and he invited me to help him DJ. And guys were just like falling out because they were mixing Cialis and poppers and heart meds. And the ambulance had to be called.
Oh, no.
And then the EMT was like in the flashlight, like in the dungeon, like with like this guy in a jock strap. Oh, and it just was such a mess and such amateur hour. And I just thought like, oh, Austin's having this sexual liberation moment. And it was just like, it was.
And then you see how it can go bad.
It went so bad.
So quick.
And I just was so embarrassed.
You guys got to watch it mixing those drugs. Yeah. It is dangerous. But drugs and sex are just dangerous sometimes. It can be so much fun, but also like it goes wrong quickly.
Very quick. So, yeah, I was a little disappointed. I thought there was going to be a lot of potential. And then I'm like, no, that just, we can't handle it here. And then there's this weekly orgy on campus that happens.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Have you been?
No.
Yeah.
I'm a little too, I think I could have gone probably like 6 months ago, but like, and I might still be able to get away with it, but sure. Like, I think my tits are just a little too big now, but like.
It's pretty mask.
Yeah. I mean, I have a few friends who've gone to it. I have our friend, he has the pseudonym Gabe on here, but he came on early on in the podcast and like talked about his like first time going to it. And like,
did you have a good time?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
I went 2 weeks ago and it was kind of also like a little awkward.
Compared to the,
I think, you know, it's like a weekly orgy. Like that's hard to like have a 10 every time, you know.
That's true.
You get some twos thrown in there, you know.
I should go during like a holiday.
Yeah.
Or like when ACL festival's going on.
Oh, that'd be
not a bad plan, actually.
We've talked about, I've talked about, I want to host orgies in here because I think I can just move the couch back and have like a nice big flat area.
Just get a couple blow up mattresses.
Yeah. I was going to get like a couple just futon mattresses and fit them together like big pad.
Yeah,
that way like we don't have to worry about popping anything and like,
oh right,
you can all be on one level, you know.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. It could get uneven quickly. Yeah, someone like gets catapulted, which honestly that'd be great.
Yeah. Can I add to it?
Sense of drama at the orgy. So I was listening to your last podcast when you're talking about the orgy.
Yeah,
you said the burn.
Yeah,
but there was just a Ren Faire this weekend.
It wasn't the Ren Faire.
Okay, because someone has told me like, oh, Ren Faires are low-key like sexual situations.
Dude, they are. They're
I always assumed they were.
Yeah, a lot of times at Ren Faires and like where the in the camping porches, you know, the people that camp out and do the whole thing, there will be kind of like at Burns how there are themed camps or different groups that camp together. There will typically be like a kink camp, like there are like groups of kinksters that like show up to the Ren Faire to like do kink shit, right?
Yeah, and people have like are gonna dress style. Up and role play all day like that. I hope they're fucking in those little costumes. Jesus, what is the point?
True.
That does give you the opportunity to do some like intense like 24/7 role play shit.
Yeah.
Oh, that's kind of hot, man.
Yeah, they better be fucking. Jeez.
I think. Maybe I'll get into Ren Faires over.
Yeah, why not?
Burns.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Although you definitely did. When I was at that burn, you saw a crossover. Like, you saw the people like, that's your Ren Faire get up. I can tell.
Like,
you know, they do both.
It was
like,
doing double duty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no.
But, I mean, I guess if you buy, like, a pirate outfit, you might as well fucking get all the miles out of it. You can't. Like, this is a $3,000 pirate outfit.
Yeah.
Like, you know?
That is the hard part about buying interesting clothing. You can only wear it once.
That's the difference between Ren Faires and Burns. Burns, you can just be naked. You don't have to buy any costume. Nice. Ren Faires, lots of costuming involved.
Yeah, not my vibe.
But yes, Ren Faires are low-key sex things.
Cool. Okay, good. I've heard that and it figures. But
makes sense to the crowd.
Yeah, it's like very that like poly.
What would y'all go to a Ren Faire as if you had to go to pick a thing?
What are my options?
Like, money's not an issue. Like, you can get your fucking outfit, right? Like,
I just want to be a dragon.
You want to be okay? So
is that not how it works?
Did you hear the end of the last episode about the dragon orgy?
No, I didn't get to that part yet.
Yeah, so we're trying to put together a dragon orgy to film for the Contrast Film Festival.
Oh, Oh my God. Okay.
Do you want to be in the dragon orgy?
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. I want to tell a story about that. So ages ago, my friend's band Popper Burns, they're local and they're really great. They kind of sound like the Pixies a little bit to me. Hmm. And, they're always in really bad drag. If you're listening to this, you're beautiful, but the drag's bad. And so, we did this video for them called Albert Einstein. And, you know, the lead singer is dressed as like a sexy Albert Einstein with like lipstick and a, you know, skirt. And she's like about to discover nuclear energy. And Godzilla has been sent back Terminator style to assassinate Albert Einstein, you know, because it's obviously like nuclear energy is bad. And Godzilla is a product of that. And so they get into this fight. And so we found this Godzilla costume that has a little fan that's like battery powered. So it kind of inflates. Like it's like this nylon Godzilla. And so we shot the video with it. And it was really fun. The video was pretty cute. And then I still had this Godzilla costume. You know, it was like $100. And this is half the budget of the video, actually. And so it's just like, I always have this sitting around. And then around this time, it was when like the puppy play thing started to hit Austin.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I go to like a bar and there'd be like a pen and like kibble on the floor. And they were just all like sniffing each other's butts and like, I don't want to yuck anyone's yum, but like, I just couldn't handle it. Like, it just was too much for me because it's like this infantilization thing. It's like, you're just a whatever. It wasn't for me. Mm-hmm. But I just was like, so like when people say, this is my kink, this is what I'm into, everyone's like presumed that you just have to like respect that. And you can't be like, no, that's fucked up. Like, I'm at a bar and I'm just trying to chill with my girls. And I have to like have a dog like rolling around. Like, I can't. And so I was like, well, I'm going to show up in this Godzilla costume and I'm going to destroy everything. And that was going to be my kink. I was like into Godzilla. I have yet to do just it.
Destroy the puppy pen.
Yeah. I'd be like, and like be breathing fire. And I'd be in this, you know, I'd be in the gay bar. As Godzilla. That was my fantasy.
Did you not do it?
I didn't.
Oh.
But I'll go through the closet and see if it's still around.
Yeah. It warmed my heart. I love starting, that.
You gave them a look and I'm like, oh God, they're into puppy play.
No, no, okay. It's fine.
Oh, hell no.
Okay.
No, I'm always getting that. In trouble for judging okay. people.
Great. Okay, then we're kind of on the same page.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't.
I'm into everything.
I'm always right. like, what care. Happened in your weird. Childhood? And Austin's like, that is not how it works, Ariel. Fine. Yeah. I don't know if you're sniffing people's butt. Whatever.
I do. I mean.
I mean.
I want people to have fun and enjoy themselves, but I just don't have to. It just shouldn't happen in a bar on a Friday.
Yeah. I got confused as to why that was happening in the bar. Right. I must have missed some part of the story.
So, no, I mean, what? Well, that's just part of, like, the gay male culture is, like, puppy play is kind of, like, right there alongside, like, leather daddies.
You were just at a regular gay bar, though?
It's probably Iron Bear.
Yeah, it was Iron Bear.
Yeah, you're at Iron Bear, and they were being puppies. It wasn't, like, a themed night of puppy play?
But it,
could have been, and maybe I just didn't know. Just didn't know. So I'm a jerk for judging when they, like, maybe took the time to reserve and you know, that's fine.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. Would they really have just been doing that on a regular?
I don't know. Cause like, you know, there are like larger like clubs where it wouldn't be like out of the ordinary to see like a stray puppy walking around, but like, you know, but at the same it's time, it's cute, like, it's a pretty, yeah, but it's also like,
maybe
you know,
I have to see it in person
when it gets real role play-y and like they're all down on the ground. That's where
is
it's
he going like
especially if it's like a Tuesday night and it's, yeah, if it's not like a specifically themed night, it's like
do?
Sometimes I just want to go out to the bar and like just like hang out for a second. I feel like it's the same thing as like children at music festivals and things like that, where it's like, dude, when they, like, it's like there's, I, on the one hand, I'm okay with it somehow, but also I'm like, there should be a section. Like, if you have a fucking kid, you have to be over there. Like, it's just weird.
Yeah.
I'm not, I don't want to watch this band with your like 6 month or like 2 year old child, like next to me.
Yeah. Like, it's always like a tiny kid. And then they have those giant headphones to protect their ears. And it's like, we get it. You're a cool parent.
You're harsh in my buzz though.
Like, just show your kid like, talking heads stop making sense in the privacy of your home, own home. If you're like so set on being like a cool mom or dad or right. whatever. Like, don't take them to ACL or Coachella or whatever. That's so corny.
I also just feel like, look, they're like, but what? I still want to go. It's like, well, you can either figure out a way to get a babysitter because you can obviously get yourself here, mm-hmm. or guess what? You just don't get to go to concerts now. That's the sacrifice. You made a human, and now you don't get to do things unless you can safely take care of that human. It's like you don't just bring it along with you.
Agreed.
That's the blend of hippie that's like seeped into the culture that I don't like. Mm-hmm. It's like, stop treating your children like they're your cool best friends. Like, they are your children. Let's keep some modicum of like,
yeah, authority.
Taking them to ACL.
Yeah,
the fucking nerve.
Yeah, unfair.
Anyhow,
anyways, loads.
Loads.
Back to loads. Anyways, loads. Live, laugh, loads.
Well,
I want that on a hat. Or a visor, really. It would probably be better on a visor.
Yeah, that sounds like a visor for sure.
Live, laugh, loads. Oh, my God. Oh, that's amazing.
It can be a little splash right here on the side. Like, live, laugh, loads, splash.
Love it.
Oh my God.
But yeah, I am happy to see that there's more openness. I mean, I think people were always doing whatever they wanted. Mm-hmm. It's not like things completely went away, but now there's just less shame. And I feel people maybe have the ability to be more adventurous. I don't know. I don't know like how much prep plays into that or just, you know, so many factors. Like, we're living in this conservative backslide. There's the internet, which maybe allows people to explore different things and then they'll try it out in real life, or they have different ways to connect with people. You know, yeah, it's probably all these things. That is there like a German word for when everything kind of just comes together at the same time and creates this,
the zeitgeist?
I don't know, dude. I'm not gonna pretend to know at this point.
Right.
I'm pretty ripped. But yeah, I'm sure there's a German word for it. They've got a word for everything.
Just like all these factors are now happening in our culture that is now hopefully allowing for like another, I'm not going to say sexual revolution, but hopefully like people are feeling way more liberated because of these various things at their disposal.
Yeah, I completely agree.
And the Ashwell Clinic is here to help.
Yeah, we're going to help
you. It's a little sticky. Mm-hmm.
Hey, that's a good tagline.
Oh, man. Yeah, okay. Well, do we want to try and do a sexual fetish of the week?
Or do you have one?
I don't, but I mean...
I brought one.
What is it?
Human decanting.
Oh!
We kind of talked about this, right?
What does that
mean? Is that where you're putting the...
So you take a catheter. I thought catheters were only for out, but you can also do in with them. So it's, you know, let's say a gentleman... takes the catheter and it's filled with wine, and you fill your bladder with wine, and then you can piss wine like into wine cups. So I feel like it's sort of like a service offered at like a masquerade orgy.
Okay, dude. Good fetish. Damn, coming in strong.
Yeah, it's like an Eyes Wide Shut level.
Yes.
Like there's all these rich people, and then the man will be like, oh, more Chardonnay. Uh-huh. And then the one's like, yes, please. And then he like pisses.
And she drinks it happily.
Yeah.
It's mostly Chardonnay.
Okay, I have so many questions.
A little wetter than usual.
Yeah. I'm sure you get a UTI. So I would like to think if you are the human decanter, like you answer the like TaskRabbit or Craigslist posting, like searching for human decanting. It's like you better like work the UTI fee into your overall fee.
Oh yeah, that's part of overhead.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Comes with the territory.
So
maybe you just do it with cranberry juice afterward.
It can't feel good for the person having it done to them. Like, it has to burn, right?
I don't know.
It's wine coming out of your dick. Like, that's got to be, like, way more acidic than piss already is.
Yeah. Well, see.
Right? That's got to burn.
Hopefully there's a sommelier to pair not only the sort of flavor profiles, but also the acidity that will, like, sit well with in a human bladder.
Oh, that's nuts.
That's another level of, you know,
yeah,
that job.
There's like small XXX school.
Yeah. Yeah. But when I found out about that, it definitely is one of those things like you think you've heard it all.
Yeah. And no, then, would y'all be happily drinking this stuff?
Dude, I don't know, man. No.
Depends on how hot the person is. I don't know.
I also don't know if I think it would heavily depend on one, the smell.
Yeah.
And sure, the smell. Two, what the environment was. Because, like, I might do it just because I'm going to be in a situation where it's like, I'm never going to get to do this again. Yeah. This is fucking nuts.
It feels rude not to drink it.
I know.
I feel like they've I would take the trouble.
I bring you in my home. I piss wine for you. I
know. We pay this guy's making at least $78 tonight.
But yeah, it depends on the smell. If it's nasty,
no, yeah, if there's
I
a smell,
know.
No. But I'm assuming he's been like cleared out. Yeah. They've done it. They've rinsed it out, and then he is just wine in and wine out all night. So. I would take a sip to be polite. I feel like that's all I could do.
It's good manners.
And out of curiosity, I'm going to be like, okay. And maybe if it tastes 100% normal, maybe I would drink it. I don't know. But if there's any, even in my mind, a little like whatever, I'm like, okay, y'all, I had the sip. I'm not doing this. But thank you so much for hiring this guy. Well, can they do it to women?
That I don't know.
She squats over your goblet.
Goes everywhere. She's like, hang on.
No. My first ex-wife could aim. She uses urinals sometimes. Really? She could like aim. Yeah.
How do you do that?
I guess she just said she just poked it down. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
She like has such a weak bladder. It just became important to her to learn how to aim. So she did.
So she could do it anytime.
She could do it anytime. She would just, she would park on the side of the road, squat, like on the highway side. She would just squat, pee, get back in. Didn't even need to. She's fast.
Okay.
But yeah, so she could probably do it. But maybe she's like that, you know. They're like, whoa.
She could be very in demand. There could be a good side hustle.
Yeah. I should write her an email.
We are in the gig economy. So.
Yeah. I just am still obsessed with the idea of sommeliers for this.
Right.
Like they someone pees into a glass and they have to smell it and they have to tell you not only like the type of wine but the type of person it comes from.
Describe their background.
32-year-old. Yeah, this is gonna be a Brazilian, I think.
Swarthy.
Transgendered lady.
Uncircumcised.
The best ones can guess the gender. You know.
Yeah. The gender. Oh yeah, transgender ones.
Wow.
Because people want women, but. You need the dick tube.
Look, I'll drink wine of a dude's dick, but like, you know,
it's gotta be a woman dude.
It's gotta be a woman dude.
Yeah, is
it's not
gay?
Fucking gay, okay?
This isn't gay.
The not gay section over there.
It just doesn't taste the same out of vagina.
Everyone else who cares.
They're not gay, so it has to be a woman dude.
I just love the idea. Yeah, in the venue, there's a not gay section. All those guys have all the trans women. Or just my like first ex-wife.
These beautiful crystal goblets at the Venetian mast orgy, like in some beautiful mansion in like Westlake Austin.
Yeah.
I've heard, speaking of orgies in Westlake, the owners of Whole Foods like host some really epic sex parties.
Really?
What?
I have a friend out in Westlake who's been starting to go to sex parties. I'm going to ask him.
Really?
So he was describing a really amazing party, and he might have mentioned Whole Foods.
Hey, guys. He's can we just toss this out into the ether? If queer, you know about this or have an in on it, let us know.
Let us know about all your orgies.
Yeah.
Yeah, if there's some, I only know.
We'll
this
review most
one.
Serious offers.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it'd be cool to do like a review series of what's going on in Boston. You know, like reporting live from the scene. I just got Chinese finger trapped, and it was amazing.
I gotta say, the appetizer selection A+. Great finger food, not too heavy, but nutritious. Decent vegan options.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, is that a common thing for the sex party to be catered?
I mean, most sex parties I've been to, they encourage if they're not already providing something, most people encourage people to bring like snacks and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Potluck some snacks.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes I've just gone to, like, you know, the one at the Burn, there was no snacks around. We just we're fucking.
Most people are on drugs.
Yeah. So, yeah. But also, like, if you know, if you're in someone's apartment and you're going to be there for a while, yeah. It's like, yeah, I'm going to bring
some fruit or
yeah, bring some fruit,
kale chips.
Yeah.
You know? I'm just trying to think of,
dude, like, although I will say friendly. I didn't think it was going to be good, but it ended up being wonderful. We, one time we had a huge plate of nachos.
Oh yeah.
Beforehand. And I was like, this is just a bad idea, but it wasn't in the end. It really worked out. We lucked out on that one, but
I went to this dominatrix's, like, it was supposed to be a sex party and it was in her dungeon and they had a spread and there's chocolate hummus.
Oh,
which it tastes just like chocolate cake batter. Mm. And that was more exciting than what was going on in the dungeon.
See, you don't want the snacks to be too good, you know?
Right.
Could take,
because then people won't go to the main
mid-level event. Snacks.
Yeah, you don't want them remembering your snacks at your orgy.
Just some like Trader Joe's pirate booty and some like those veggie puff chips and call it a day. Mm-hmm. Don't make it too like Martha Stewart type of stuff or Iron Garden level. Then people are going to skip.
Okay, I seriously, as soon as we're done, I'm going to go look up decanting.
Yeah.
That's just unreal. That's Does it amazing. Get you drunk?
Oh, yeah, I don't know.
Well, yeah, you got to be taking in some of the alcohol through your dick.
Right?
Osmosis.
Yeah.
A little bit of it swims up.
Because there's that steaming thing where people like steam their buttholes or vaginas with vodka.
That's tight.
I knew people steam their vaginas like to cleanse them, but I didn't know about with alcohol.
Yeah. I guess it gets you like super messed up to like boil vodka and then like put your privates on top to absorb it.
So if you want to get a lot of mileage out of a vodka bottle, you can just steam a little.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Steam a little before you go to the club.
Yeah. Yeah. If you can't afford drinks, just steam Ariel? Vodka.
Oh, she's upstairs steaming. Our clothes? No.
Or you could bring a little like lighter and a little vodka with you to the club or something. Wait till you arrive there. You go to the stall and kind of.
Is this one doing heroin chemistry? In the bathroom stall? No, no Ariel's steaming.
Yeah. No, she's between checks right now. I wanted to come out. So
she's sweet. Steaming some sweet vermouth. Yeah.
All right, I think we're gonna leave it on that. Well, thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah,
if you are looking to get on PrEP or just need a new sexual health provider, come to ashwellatx.org.
Sweet. Bye.
This has been another NPR production out of Safe Space Studios.
We're broadcasting on 66.6 FM. That's KFUX. Peace.
I'm Janish Meeting, a native writer and comedian, and I'm thrilled to announce that my podcast, Woman of Size, has found a permanent home on the Hoo Ha Ha Network. On Woman of Size, I talk to artists, writers, activists, and thinkers about their big-ass lives, their big-ass experiences, and their big asses. Woman of Size is
plus size,
Latina,
flawed,
curvy,
baby, thick, queen,
queer,
fat, black,
disabled.
So come take up space and subscribe to Woman of Size on Apple Podcasts or wherever you like to listen. Be big, baby.
This has been a Hoo Ha Ha podcast.